Hi and hello, Watch fans, and welcome to some more additional content from Watches and Wonders 2024. I'm here with Ellie Bernheim, the CEO and third generation leader of Raymond Vial. It is a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me at the end of a long week. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. A bit tired, but exhausted, but I'm happy to be with you for a couple of minutes.
Can you just tell me what your impressions of the fair have been thus far? I guess you've met with hundreds of people over the week. What's the feedback been like to the new releases?
I've met with hundreds of people for sure. It was for us very important to attend this third edition of the Watches and Wonders 2024. We missed the first one. We were more in a wait and see position at that time, just after we exit the COVID. We were not so sure that fair will be so important again. And I was absolutely wrong in the sense that people want to connect with other people. They want to meet with each other. They can travel from all over the world, but to be all together for a few days to share, to comment, to see our beautiful, product. So after the first one I missed the second one, obviously, and we are here for the third edition, and we are very happy to be back in the sense that we used to be we were in Basel World Fair for many, many years, and we are happy to be in this very important moment for the watch industry. So we've met hundreds of people, you're right, and the feedback that we got for our novelties was absolutely positive, not only because we launched several beautiful timepieces, but also because we managed to keep our price point as a main things in our strategy, from $1,000 to $3,000. This is where we are in the market, and all our novelties fulfill this price bracket.
You've been in the news quite a lot recently, of course, because of your GPHG win, which is something I'm sure you'd like to tell us a little bit more about. What was it like building up to that competition, coming away with the prize, and then since, what's the response been like to that model?
The fact that we won the prize was first a big surprise for me, for my team, and at the same time, a fantastic reward for everyone who are working next to me, not just the people in the or the employee in Geneva in the HQ, but also from all our collaborators around the world, our suppliers, and also our retailers and so on. So great reward coming from our peers, which is I think something very special. And that night during the ceremony, when I've heard the name Raymond Vial winning this specific prize, I was very personally very, very emotional, to a point where I didn't know what to say to the audience that night, except the fact that it was for me a pride, a very important pride.
So it really was a surprise. You didn't see it coming.
Oh no! I was expecting all the other big name of this beautiful watch industry winning this prize, but not necessarily Raymond Vial. So it was even more a good surprise when it's unexpected. I let you imagine the pleasure it could be for me, and for the people who were next to me from the team to listen our name, our brand name.
So maybe take us a little bit behind the scenes when it comes to the process of applying to be in the GPHG competition. You have to select a model, you have to put it forward. There are fees to pay at certain points, right, so it can be assessed by the board and the whole event can be run. What's it like? How long does it take from start to finish? And why did you pick that model? Obviously a good choice, but why?
It was the first time that we participate to the GPSG.
You got 100% record now. You're going to have to keep it up next year.
Yeah, I hope so. Now that we won once, we would like to win a second time, that's for sure. But we took the decision to participate, and we did select three timepieces in which obviously we truly believe in. And it was interesting also for us to select what will become the winner piece, the millésime timepiece, in order also to have some feedbacks, some great feedbacks from the jury, from the committee and so on. So it was an interesting way for the company to get product feedback as well.
Okay, so you actually entered it with that hope that you would see what the response was, but not necessarily thinking you were going to come away with the prize. So that model in particular, for anyone that hasn't seen it, perhaps you could describe it and tell us what's special about it. Why did it win?
The product brief that I gave to my designer now more than 3 years ago had a code name, Neo Vintage. So from that point, I asked them to work on something which will be full of tradition codes, watchmaking codes from the 50s, from the 60s. Too particularly, I wanted to have a sector dial. I wanted to have like a curved and a dial and hand curved. That was the starting point of my wishes, I would say. So that's what they developed. At the end of the day, it's a vintage piece in the sense that it took inspiration from the 50s, 60s by some key elements like the glass box, the sector dial, the dial and the hands curved. But at the same time, if you look at the piece, it looks like a more contemporary looking piece than old vintage breloque, we say in French, timepiece that you can find now in the market. So that's this good balance, I would say, the good mix in between the vintage inspiration into a more simple, elegant timepiece case.
So that's interesting. So you actually laid out the brief with so many of the criteria that went on to define the watch and its successful aesthetic. Is that how the design process works with everything? Do you have a say in every model, or are sometimes the briefs a little more general and you let your design team run riot?
No, I'm very involved with the design personally. I cannot design myself, but I really like to take part of the whole process of the creation. And most of the time, I like to give a certain orientation, some creative direction, which are, I think, very important, because we know who is our target audience very well. And most of the time, we develop our timepiece with a clear idea how to target a specific audience by market or just in a more global perspective. So, yeah, there are sometimes only a few bullet points, or sometimes they are just, okay, I saw something in the market that looks absolutely gorgeous right now. I don't want to do the same, but I think that you should take inspiration from that in order to develop something which will be obviously nicer.
So we mentioned at the top of the recording that you're third generation. So you've been in this business your entire life, and you've been learning from your father and grandfather before you. So what was that experience like? Where did you find your feet in the company to begin with? I guess you've been doing things around the business since you were a kid.
Yeah, I grew up with the watch industry in my blood. You have no idea how many times during a Sunday lunch or Sunday dinner, I was listening to my grandfather and my father talking about timepieces, travel they did to meet with their distributors and so on. So, or meeting with suppliers. I mean, I've been many, many times when I was like in between 10 and 15 years old to La Chaux-de-Fonds or to Neuchâtel, where we used to have our main suppliers to visit their factories and so on. So, it's completely in my blood, to a point where someone asked me the other day, was it obvious for you that you will be at some point at the head of the company? My answer was no. It was not obvious, because my father never said to me, you will be one day the one who will be leading the company. Hopefully, I would say, as a father now, I think it was right. But it was so much in me that... I'm so much passionate about this industry that after many years doing things in one side and doing other things in the other side, I joined him, and it was in 2006. I did many, many different tasks or mission for the company, to a point where my father in 2014 asked me to take the lead of the company, for my biggest pleasure, but also a big responsibility, big pressure. So there is not a single morning when I'm not feeling the pressure, but I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying my job, and I'm enjoying this, way of working with my different colleagues around the world.
So given how involved you are in the business and how many roles you've sampled over the years to get to this point, which one of those things do you enjoy the most? What kind of hat do you like to wear most often?
To be honest with you, I pretty did everything in order to grow up with the company. I think that the time I spend in the manufacturing steps was for me very, very educative. And I think that if you don't know well the product, which at the end of the day is the most important thing. I mean, you can tell a nice story about anything you want, but if you do not know well the product you want to sell, it's a hard job. So it's probably where I learned the most, to a point now where I'm enjoying, I mean, all the discussion, the meetings that I'm having weekly with my R&D department, the engineer, the designers, because I feel I'm in control of the content. Yeah.
So you mentioned that the product, knowing the product intimately and knowing your audience, is very important, but you also mentioned stories. Now, do you think for a brand in your price point, the product is more important than the story, and maybe that changes for different brands at maybe higher price points? Or do you think that always the product should come first?
Well, I think the product should come first. When you have the right product, it sells by itself, I would say. But I think that to have also the right marketing content to support the right product, it's even more obviously important. I think that I strongly believe in the two C's that I'm talking all along the year with my colleagues, is continuity and consistency. And I think that the more we repeat the message about who we are with humility, we are who we are. We are a brand selling very refined timepieces at accessible price, in between, let's say, $1,000 to $3,000 or $4,000. This is at the price bracket we are in. We've been involved since the very day one in a specific communication territory, which is the art and culture, but specifically or mainly the music. So we did several collaboration in this music territory with the Beatles, with AC/DC, with David Bowie, and so on, and more recently with Jimi Hendrix. The fact that you repeat the message in a very simple way, telling the truth to you and consumers, no bullshit, sorry to say that like this, but with no bullshit about who you are. We do not pretend being who we are not. We are who we are. I think at the end of the day, the end consumer can recognize that and appreciate that.
And where are most of those end consumers based? Where in the world is the most successful territory for your brand?
The most successful territory so far, I would say, is the US market by far. The UK market is also a very important market for the brand, as some other many market in the world. I think that as a family brand, we need to pick the right battle. You know, we cannot be everywhere. Otherwise, we will scatter our resources to two different things. So I think that, again, the same thing as for the marketing or for the product, we need to make sure that where we are, I would say, strong enough or well positioned in the market, we continue to be. But again, as a worldwide brand, sometimes it's important also to explore new opportunities. And going back to the product, for many years we knew that we have in our range nice product for a certain audience or certain market in the world, and thanks to the COVID, I would say, not due to the COVID, but thanks to the COVID, we realized that it was key for the brand to enlarge a little bit the offer of our different collection in order to target another audience, you know, and this is the challenge for us today. And I would say that Millésime collection that we launched last year that won the prize is playing a tremendous role in this perspective of exploring new opportunities in some market where we were not so much well known.
So last question, let's talk about the novelties specifically. I know there's quite a few, but let's pick out your favorites, the ones that you're most excited to see go out into the market and perform, and just give us a little description of those ones and why you like them.
Well, the product I'm enthusiastic to launch in the next coming weeks is the one that is behind you, by the way, but it's the Millésime Moon Phase. Why Moon Phase? Because it's for me a happy Moon Phase. There is a happy human face designed on the Moon Phase, and I think that in this particular period of time, bring a positivity, happiness. When you look at your watch, you have someone who smile. I think it's great. So it's a midnight blue dial. It's a rose PVD gold case. Somatic function, obviously. It's all the codes of the Millésime with the sector dial and, as I said before, a dialed and hands curved, a glass box, 39 millimeter case on leather strap. And I think that for the price, which is slightly below 2,500, it's going to be a great timepiece soon in the market.
Well, I wish you all the best with it, Ellie. Thank you very much for your time. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and hope to see you soon.